the care of all the churches. And I believe that Acts chapter 20 gives us a glimpse into the exercise of the apostles' care and the sacrifice he so willingly made that the churches might not only be established, but that they would be strengthened spiritually. And repeatedly, I believe, through this chapter, we read of a sacrificial service that the Apostle Paul made. So with those thoughts in mind, let us read Acts chapter 20. And after the uproar was ceased, now he's talking about the uproar in chapter 19 in the city of Ephesus. Paul called unto him the disciples and embraced them and departed for to go into Macedonia. And when he had gone over those parts and had given them much exhortation, he came into Greece and there abode 3 months. And when the Jews laid wait for him, as he was about to sail into Syria, he purposed to return through Macedonia. And there accompanied him into Asia Sopater of Berea, and of the Thessalonians, Aristarchus and Secundus, and Gaius of Derbe and Timotheus, and of Asia Tychicus and Trophimus. These going before tarried for us at Troas. And we sailed away from Philippi after the days of unleavened bread and came unto them to Troas in 5 days, where we abode 7 days. Upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight. And there were many lights in the upper chamber where they were gathered together. And there sat in the window a certain young man named Eutychus, being fallen into a deep sleep. And as Paul was long preaching, he sunk down with sleep and fell down from the third loft and was taken up dead. And Paul went down, fell on him, embraced him, and said, "Trouble not yourselves, for his life is in him." When he therefore was come up again and had broken bread and eaten and talked a long while, even till break of day, so he departed. They brought the young man alive, were not a little comforted. And we went before to ship and sailed unto Assos there, intending to take in Paul. For so had he appointed, minding himself to go afoot. And when he met with us at Assos, we took him in and came to Mytilene. And we sailed thence and came the next day over against Chios. And the next day we arrived at Samos and tarried at Trogyllum. And the next day we came to Miletus. For Paul had determined to sail by Ephesus because he would not spend the time in Asia. For he hasted, if it were possible for him, to be at Jerusalem the day of Pentecost. And from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, "Ye know, from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations, which befell me by the laying in wait of the Jews, how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And now behold, I know that ye all among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God shall see my face no more. Wherefore, I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also, of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Therefore, watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I ceased not to warn everyone night and day with tears. And now, brethren, I commend you to God, to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. Yea, ye yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities and to them that were with me. I have showed you all things, how that so laboring ye ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And when he had thus spoken, he kneeled down and prayed with them all. And they all wept sore and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him, sorrowing most of all for the words which he spake, that they should see his face no more. And they accompanied him unto the ship. Now we believe that the Lord will bless to us the reading of his precious word. The people of God were very, very dear unto the Apostle Paul. I already mentioned that he said, could write to the Corinthians, he could say that there daily, every single moment of the day, there was upon his heart the people of God. Their welfare, their safety, their spiritual growth, all of those things were upon his heart daily. And really, it was Paul's love for the Lord Jesus Christ that really motivated him to love the believers. For I believe that when he saw them, he saw Christ. And he remembered the love that the Lord had for him and the care that the Lord displayed to him. And so I believe that right from the very beginning of this chapter, we have an illustration of the care of the Apostle Paul. You will notice that in the very first verse it says that he called unto them, the disciples, and he embraced them. And then if you go to the end of the chapter, you'll notice that he kneeled down and he prayed for them. That idea of the embrace them is more than just putting your arms around them and speaking to them. It is the idea of imparting to them counsel and encouragement and warnings about the things that are ahead of them. And so he had that great care, that great love for him. And when I thought of that, I thought of the David way back in 1 Samuel chapter 17. His father has spoken to him and says, David, take these things to your brothers. And we read a very interesting words in verse 20 of chapter 17 of 1 Samuel. That we read that before David would take those things, he carefully arranged for the sheep that was under his care. He gave them into the care of a shepherd. He gave them a stewardship over those sheep. And I think of this. That here is the Apostle Paul, and he's gathered these disciples. And I believe that these disciples are the same elders at the end of the chapter. He has gathered them, and he has committed to them a trust. a stewardship over the people of God in that city of Ephesus. And then from there, we read that he departed to go into Macedonia. And you read those first three chapters, and they look, well, very quickly. You could read those chapters. And yet, we read that it is actually took perhaps in those first three verses a year and a half. That Acts chapter 20 passes over them very, very quickly. But we would have to read into 2 Corinthians and into Romans to find out exactly what went on during those three verses, during that year and a half. We find from 2 Corinthians that Paul traveled up to Troas. Interestingly, that as he traveled up to Troas, from Ephesus to Troas, he would have touched upon the churches of Thyatira, Sardis, and Pergamos. Three of the churches from the Revelation. No doubt he stopped and visited with them, and it would have encouraged them. And then he came to Troas, and it tells us, and he was expecting to see Titus at Troas. But Titus wasn't there. And Paul was greatly disturbed that Titus wasn't there. He feared for Titus's safety and for his well-being. And so Paul, although it would indicate from Corinthians that he had intended to spend some time in Troas, he spent only a short time and went on till he came to Philippi, at which place he met Titus. And after hearing the report from Titus, Paul then wrote unto the Corinthians the second epistle to Corinthians. From from Philippi, he likely touched on Thessalonica, Berea, and they tell us, and we get the impression from Romans chapter 15, that Paul likely preached in the Roman province of Illyricum. Now, the province of Illyricum was just to the west of Macedonia. So if you think of Greece coming down, and you've got Macedonia and Illyricum over here. And Paul likely preached to them before going on to Greece and to down to Corinth. And it says that Paul gave them much exhortation. Paul was greatly concerned about the believers. When we read through the different epistles, we find that the believers in Thessalonica were under continual persecution from without. Paul was concerned about their safety and about their faithfulness. And then when we read through Corinthians, we find that the Corinthians were being divided by people within. They were setting up different party spirit, and it was dividing them. And so he went down to Greece, and he spent 3 months. And it tells you there he spent 3 months. If you look at that, you'll find that those 3 months, that it's believed that he spent December, January, and February, the winter months, in Corinth. And while he was there at Corinth, no doubt as he would walk the streets, and he would see the different things that were going on in the city of Corinth. And then Paul would wrote the Roman epistle. And as you read through the Roman epistle, you'll find that the exercise of the Apostle Paul is that believers would know for assurance that God was satisfied with the sacrifice of Christ. That they would know that in the Lord Jesus Christ there was salvation. And as I thought of those three verses, I thought of this. That this is a man who had a tremendous exercise and a love for the people of God. But it points out this. That those who have a love for the people of God and are exercised by that and are reaching out to the people of God, there will be many times when what they are doing, there is no recognition upon this earth. That no one will pay any particular attention. That service is known to God. The Lord will reward it in a coming day. And you'll see, three verses, and it took a year and a half, probably a year and a half, in which the Apostle Paul was exercised. And there's no indication what he was doing. If we didn't read through 2 Corinthians, and we didn't read through Romans, we would never get any glimpse of the exercise of the Apostle Paul's heart. From Corinth, he purposed to return home. He wanted to be home, and some believe that he purposed in his mind that he would get home by Passover time, that he would be able to celebrate the Passover in Jerusalem. But there was a plot to kill him. And so Paul had to change his plans. And he went north to Berea, Thessalonica, to Philippi. And we find that he celebrated the Passover when he reached Philippi. But then in verse 4 you will read that there are a number of people mentioned. There are a number of individuals that the Apostle Paul has gathered around him. And he hasn't gathered them around him just because he wanted the preeminence. But he was thinking, there are believers in Jerusalem who are suffering poverty and want and need. And so he has been encouraging the churches around to send fellowship to the believers in Jerusalem. And he has encouraged them from the different churches to send individuals from those different churches with fellowship to the believers in Jerusalem. And so it outlines for us from Macedonia. Now, Macedonia would include Philippi and Thessalonica. We read of three people: Sopater, Aristarchus, Secundus. They're the representatives from those churches, those three churches: Philippi, Thessalonica, Berea. Interestingly, when we read Romans chapter 16, there is a possibility that this man, Sopater, was Paul's cousin. And then we read that there were two from Galatia, Gaius and Timothy. Then we read that there were two from the Roman province of Asia, Tychicus and Trophimus. Now, as we read through that, and we read through Acts, we find that there were others that were traveling along with them as well. But these particular ones were there because Paul had an exercise for the believers at Jerusalem. And these men were coming with the offering from these churches. And then I believe that the Apostle Paul was seeking to encourage these ones in the work of the Lord. We read then that they came to Philippi. They celebrated the days of unleavened bread. Now, many times in the scriptures, they will take one of the feasts and it will stand for three feasts. And here we have the days of unleavened bread, which really speaks of three of the feasts that they celebrated at that time. First of all, there was the Passover, which spoke about salvation. And no doubt Paul was impressing upon them the need for salvation. Then it speaks about first fruits. And it speaks about the new life and how they are believers. Once they have trusted Christ, they've entered into a new life. And that life, all things have changed. And as I read through the Gospels, I read how often that the Lord Jesus emphasized the change in a person's life. That that when a person was healed, there was a tremendous change in their life. You think of that man in John chapter 9, and his eyes were restored to him. He could see. And you read and you find that the tremendous change in his life. He now can see. His countenance has changed. They can see the joy that he is having. And he's praising God. He's not asking for money now. He's praising God. There was a tremendous change in his life. And then we finish this up with the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And the Feast of Unleavened Bread speaks of a life of holiness. A life of holiness unto God. And now, so Paul is seeking, and he wants to go to Jerusalem, and he wants to be there on the Feast of Pentecost. And really, the Feast of Pentecost has the idea of the Spirit's indwelling of believers and the conforming of you and I to be like unto Christ. That we might be Christ-like in our day-to-day life. Not just on Sunday, but on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. That all the time we might be like unto Christ. And the Apostle Paul is exercised about that. But then we read in, as well in verse 6, we read that they stayed 7 days. You know, they had come over from Philippi, and they got there, and they remained 7 days. Why would they remain 7 days? Well, we might say, well, they wanted to be there for the Lord's Day. They wanted to be there for the remembrance meeting. But I think that the Apostle Paul had a greater desire in that part. If you think of the fact that his greatest desire was the care and the spiritual growth of believers. And so what he was emphasizing there is he was seeking to encourage the believers in Troas to maintain a consistent testimony unto the Lord. That it is important that they gather for the remembrance of the Lord. And so they have gathered. The Apostle Paul preaches to them. They have that remembrance of the Lord's Supper. And then they go on. And then you will find that it says that from Troas to Assos, that his company went by ship. And the Apostle Paul walked. Well, that's not if you look on the map, you'll find that there's a big jut in the land that goes out, and so the ship would have had to come across. And Paul walked that distance, which was, I believe, is about 22 miles. He walked it alone. Why did he walk it alone? And I think that perhaps that he walked it because there was much upon his mind. His mind was filled with the fact that there were problems in the local churches. There were divisions in some churches. There was suffering of believers. There was spiritual error. And there were the warnings of the Spirit of God. And all those things were upon the Apostle Paul's mind. And when he comes to Ephesus and he visits with the elders at the Ephesus, that he brings out some of these things in his talk to them. There at Assos, they took him in and they sailed down the coast, approximately 300 kilometers down the coast to Mytilene, where they stopped, and the Apostle Paul sent for the elders of Ephesus. Now, it's an indication to me, at least, of the tremendous anxiety that the Apostle Paul had. Because that distance from where he was back to Ephesus was about 33 miles. So it would have taken the messengers that the Apostle Paul sent at least a day to go there and a day to come back and possibly part of a day to notify the different elders that were there. And so he's waiting there in anxiety for at least possibly 3 days. It tells me that there was a tremendous anxiety in his heart for the churches of Asia, the churches, all the churches that he had visited. When we look through the Acts of the Apostles, you'll find that the Apostle Paul, of all the messages he preached, there are three recorded for us. The first one that he recorded is recorded in Acts chapter 13. And if you were to read through Acts chapter 13, you will find that the Apostle Paul is bringing forth before the people the things that God has done. How God has provided and God has fulfilled His word. And he's emphasizing what God has done in the past. And he finishes up when he says, "It be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man, Christ, is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins." And then when you come on to Acts chapter 17, he's preaching to a Gentile audience in Athens. And there he's pointing out over and over again what God is going to do in the future. That there's coming a day when God is going to judge the world through that man whom he hath appointed, being the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, he's looked at the past. He's looked at the future. And now we come to Acts chapter 20. And the Apostle Paul, in addressing the overseers here, he's dealing with responsibilities in the present. They have a present responsibility for the people of God. And as we look through that, we'll find that his speech, his talk to the overseers are there, I believe it's divided into three parts. In verses 17 to 27, you'll find that he's speaking of a spiritual service that must be remembered. Don't forget it. And I think as well that Moses to the children of Israel could remind them not to forget the past. And we have those words, "Thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness to humble thee and to prove thee and to know what was in thine heart." And the Apostle Paul is emphasizing and he's reminding them a service that they should not forget. And then he reminds them, he speaks of us, of a spiritual responsibility that must be shared. And then, from verse 31 to 35, he speaks of a spiritual example that he has revealed to them. So we take a look at these things. He's called the elders. And he begins to speak to them. And he's seeking to remind them, "You know what manner of man I've been amongst you. You've known how I have behaved amongst you." Why is he emphasizing that? It's because it's an example for them to follow. Follow his example. Then he said, and he says, "You know after what manner I've been amongst you." Remember how he has walked amongst them. How he conducted himself. And you know, he is speaking to the overseers there with the idea that when they returned to Ephesus, they would tell the same message to the whole of the church. That every believer would remember that we have a responsibility to remember the example that was set before us of the people who have gone before us. The godly example they have set, that we should remember and walk in it. And he says, "I've kept back nothing. I did not hold back anything from the Word of God." And that's important. We don't hold back anything. And he emphasizes again the gospel message. And he says, it's repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And he's emphasizing the fact that repentance and faith implies a change in your mind, your attitude, and a turning away from sin to serve the living God. You've changed. Repentance and faith towards God. Repentance requires forsaking of our sinful ways. But faith looks forward to our laying hold of Christ and our continual service to Him. You see, when we trust Christ, that's not the end. Faith does not anticipate that you'll be saved and that's all you need. It always anticipates there will be more to it. That faith will go on day after day after day, seeking to serve Him. Seeking to walk in fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And then it comes to that spiritual responsibility. And the Apostle Paul, believing that he will not see the Ephesians again, has been reminding them of his service and his sacrifice. And now he wishes to leave them counsel. And Paul, you know, in speaking, addressing the Corinthian believers, confessed again, and I remind you again, there cometh upon me daily the care of all the churches. I think of Moses. There was not a day in the life of Moses as he took the children through the wilderness that the care of all the people was not upon his heart and upon his mind. And God tried to emphasize that care upon the high priest when he was to put upon the breastplate that had all those stones that represented the different churches that was to be upon his heart. And then they were to have the stones upon his shoulder that had the tribes again mentioned. That he was to bear their care for them. And so that when I think of this, I think that the Apostle Paul is really saying to them, come, share this responsibility with me. Share this care that I have. And when we read in 1 Corinthians, we read that the Apostle Paul could say, be ye followers of me even as I am of Christ. And I would like to just paraphrase it slightly, and he could say, be followers of me as I also was of Christ. And he wanted them to follow him in their care for him. And I think of when he wrote to the Philippians, he could say, Timothy was a man who will naturally care for your state. That's what he wanted. Believers who would have a natural exercise for them. And so he begins to talk to them. And he begins to give them a counsel. And this counsel that he's giving is really counsel for every one of us. He says, take heed to yourselves. The Apostle Paul, writing to Timothy, could say, take heed unto yourself. It's important that you take heed to your own spiritual welfare. You cannot depend on other people to develop your spirituality. Take heed to yourselves. How do we take heed to ourselves? Well, we give ourselves freely and continually to the reading of the Word of God. We don't neglect our spiritual gift. We foster it. We build it up. We seek to exercise it. And then it says, give heed, careful thought to the Word of God and to the needs of the assembly. And then he says to all the flock. And he's saying, don't not just to one or two, but to all the flock. And that's a word of exhortation to every member of the assembly. Do I consider everybody in my assembly as being important to me? As important to me as they are to God. First of all, do I pray for them? Do I take time to pray for every member of the assembly? That's important. You see, in Troas, there's that little incident where Eutychus fell from the window. And they said he was dead. And the Apostle Paul came down and he embraced him. He prayed for him. And what is that emphasizing? That here was a man who had a deep interest in the individual in an assembly and their welfare. And so he's engaged in intercessory prayer. That's important for us as well. And then he says, over which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. He is recognizing that the Spirit of God has given them a stewardship. A stewardship to be fulfilled. But you know, the Spirit of God has given every single one of us a stewardship. He's given us a stewardship of His Word. He's giving us the stewardship of the welfare of every member of the assembly. We see them every Lord's Day. We sit around the emblems and we look upon those emblems and we think of Christ. And we think of the believers that are there and some believers who are not able to attend. He says there is a stewardship. The Spirit of God has given them a stewardship. And I thought of in this chapter, there are three times when the Apostle Paul speaks of a stewardship. He speaks, first of all, of his own stewardship. That the Spirit, that God, the Lord has laid upon him a burden, a special stewardship concerning the people of God. Then here in this verse, he speaks of the stewardship of the Holy Spirit to these overseers, but also to the others. And then later on in the chapter, and it comes down and he speaks of the fact that that he has now, and he says, I commend you unto God. What do those words mean? He's saying, I have given you in my prayers as a stewardship to God, that God would care for you. And when I think of that, I think of, are there other examples when people of God have given God a stewardship? Look way back in 1 Samuel chapter 1. You find Hannah and she's taken that little boy Samuel. She's taken him and she said, I have lent him. I have given him to the Lord as a stewardship, that the Lord will care for him. Did the Lord care for Samuel? It says, yes, he did. For it said, we read that not one word that Samuel spoke was ever allowed to fall to the ground. The Lord fulfilled that stewardship that Hannah had committed unto him. And so he's telling them, and he says, feed the church of God. Be careful. See what they need. And feed them. You see, to feed the people of God, they need to know you. They need to know who you are. I haven't had much experience with sheep. Just a little bit, one summer. But I did learn this. That if sheep don't know you, they will not eat. And if they're not comfortable with you, they're restless. They're on their feet and they're moving all the time. And they're restless. They need to hear your voice to becoming familiar with you. They need to know your presence. They need to see you. And he says, feed them. Be a good shepherd to them. And that's an exercise for every single one of us. We can be shepherds. We can be an example to them all. And then the Apostle Paul says there's dangers coming. There's wolves coming, grievous wolves. And what I have read about wolves or about dogs that go wild and attack sheep is that they won't just kill one sheep that they will eat. They get amongst the sheep and they kill as many as they can. They destroy the flock. And then there will be some who will want to have preeminence. But the Apostle Paul lays out for them examples. He says, I've been an example for you. And he says, and I think that there are seven things that he's outlined for them and as an example. He says, first of all, remember that the assembly is made up of individuals. And he says, each or every one of you, the assembly is made up of individuals. And then he says, your work is unceasing. Unceasing. Night and day. And that's interesting. He doesn't say day and night. Because the people of that day, many of them were slaves. All day long they were working. They were busy. So when could he exercise his shepherdhood? It's at night. After they had finished their work. And he says, so he says, first of all, they're individuals. My work is unceasing. Then he says, encouraging. I've got to encourage them. And he says, I've sought to encourage you. And I've commended you to God. And he's encouraging them to go on and to go on. Yes, the flock needs to be warned. Yes, there are times when they need to be corrected. But many times, they just need a word of encouragement. A word to lift them up. Sometimes it's just a smile. A cheerful welcome. But they need that encouragement. And then he says, it's willingly. I've willingly done it. I've coveted no man's wealth. And I've done it willingly. Then he says, it's a sacrifice. I have sacrificed to serve you. He says, with these hands I have ministered, not only to my needs, but to the needs of others. I have sacrificed that this service might be given. Then he says, I've been an example. I have showed you how to do. I have showed you what is needed. Do it. And then he says, a pattern. A pattern has been established. It's that pattern is not me. But he points them to the Lord and he says, remember the words of the Lord. Your pattern comes from Christ. He's the pattern. And if you read through the Philippian epistle that the Apostle Paul wrote a few years later, about 4 years after this, you will find that he's again emphasizing that pattern. That pattern of Christ and his service and his sufferings for us. And so the Apostle Paul, I believe in this whole chapter, has been seeking to show them an example of a man exercised and a man with a tremendous care and love for the people of God. And you will find that love even and that care even being exercised in the last verse of the chapter where we find him. As soon as he finished speaking, he knelt down and he prayed. And the others followed his example. And they knelt down and prayed with him. There was a prayer on behalf of the church. And really, perhaps, we need to follow that example too. And when we are in our homes, to pray faithfully for every member of the assembly. Let us close in prayer. Our God.